Have you seen, there's a tweet, that's like, every man's store is two words like connected by an and. It's like, yeah, oak and fern.
Oh yeah,
like fire and leather.
It was
and,
just, it was just a middle class, yeah, fancy thing the other day.
And then it's, and all they sell is the same like plain t-shirts.
Yes.
Wasn't it's there true. Some website that had a logo generator?
Oh yeah, and it does, yeah, the like cross.
It does like two arrows, yeah, like, yeah, it just
picks two words,
two, yeah, swords or something.
Right,
yeah,
right. Smoke and steel.
It's, yeah.
What is the name of the barbershop? It's like Cloak and Dagger or something like that.
Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah.
They stab you.
Oven and Shaker.
Pay good money to get stabbed.
Wolf and Bears.
Wolf and Bear.
Mm-hmm. Salt and Straw.
Rick and Mortar.
Mm-hmm. Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty. Yeah.
Tom and Jerry.
Oh jeez.
Yeah.
Roger and Ebert.
Mm-hmm. Tim and Eric. Mm-hmm. Mumford and Sons.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Ted and Bill.
Simon and Garfunkel. The original.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and Bob Vance's new secretary, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, traveling salesman.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Wow, it is raining cats and dogs out there. Nobody knows how to drive in the rain.
You have them all queued
Does
up
it just
to
make her
you
wanna
know, the roads are actually the slickest in the first half hour. I actually sleep better when it's raining.
My plants are going to love this.
How many?
The plants are going to love this.
There it is. Times like this, I just want to curl up with a good book.
Normally, I'd say that I just want to curl up with a good book, but everybody's being so nice today.
Yeah.
43 was I got nothing to
Every week, we get together and we talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week, we're talking Phyllis Vance, a.k.a. Easy Rider. Phallus. Mother Goose. Venus.
Venus, yeah.
She's one half of Flob.
That's true.
And she used to be Phyllis Lappin. But that's today's focus. We're talking about Phyllis. I'm excited.
Member and head of the planning party.
That's right.
Planning party committee, sure. Yes. I'll stick with it.
Sales rep at Dunder Mifflin Scranton.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about Phyllis. I've been waiting to talk about Phyllis for a while.
Yeah, in terms of our character profiles, Phyllis is her sort of growth and her development in terms of screen time and character development kind of mirrors the growth of the ensemble on the show. She starts out as a very minor kind of background character, and over the course of the show, she gets more lines, more development. Her marriage with Bob Vance introduces a really unique dynamic. Her relationships with Angela and Stanley are very unique within the show, so very excited to get into it.
Very important ensemble character played by Phyllis Smith, who is from Missouri. She went to University of Missouri, St. Louis. And in the 70s, she was a dancer, a cheerleader, a burlesque dancer. And I guess she's quoted as she never took her top off as a burlesque dancer, but I'm sure that did get dirty. And then she did. She had a knee injury and became a casting director in L.A. and an actress. And interestingly enough, I think some people already know this, but this role of Phyllis Vance was created for Phyllis Smith. She was the casting director on The Office, and I would assume people like Ken Kwapis, Greg Daniels, just loved her and wanted her to be the sassy lady in The Office who can kind of talk back to Michael and give it back to Michael.
They talk about this a little bit in Office Ladies. They do kind of go into her background as a burlesque dancer and how that kind of influences certain scenes or whatever. But yes, I think she, in terms of casting, she was often reading lines with the actors as they were either auditioning or trying things out, and they just loved the way that she would read lines and scenes, so they kind of built that role. Continuing a proud tradition of Office characters who use their own first names.
Right.
Oscar, Creed, you know, Phyllis.
She did win a couple of SAG
D'Angelo.
Awards.
Sorry.
Some Screen Actors Guild Awards for this in 2006 and 2007 for outstanding performance by an ensemble cast member in a comedy series. So award-winning actress for this role. But that's a little bit about Phyllis Smith. Obviously, I think, you know, her, the real Phyllis influenced the character big time.
Also an incredible performance in Inside Out. Was that the Pixar?
Yeah. She plays Sadness.
The voice of Sadness.
Oh.
Well, it's just one of the better casting decisions I've seen.
Very, very good.
Amazing.
That's just a little bit about Phyllis Smith, the actress. Phyllis Vance, sales rep at Dunder Mifflin, the whole time, right?
Yes.
She never leaves, never gets promoted, demoted, fired, anything like that, unlike a lot of the other characters.
Well, we see, like you said, she's a very crucial ensemble member, and when you get to the ensemble, it really is like people whose jobs never change the whole time.
Yeah, very static, right?
You know, there's like Meredith, a few of them, and it's like Creed. Toby, Meredith, Creed, Stanley, Phyllis, and I guess
Angela.
I guess Angela never changes either. Yeah. But
Oscar leaves for a bit.
Yep.
I'm reminded of a scene in The Sting in season 7 where Michael convinces Danny Cordray to join the office by basically stopping him at the door. And he says, "Danny, do you want your life to get worse? Get better or stay the same," right? Get better. And he convinces him with that sales pitch. And then later when this guy, you know, all the sales staff feel very threatened because this new salesperson comes in, right? And Michael gathers them all in his office. He says, "Listen, do you want your life to get worse, get better, or stay the same?" And they all say, stay the same. A perfect characterization
as good as it gets.
Of the ensemble in that regard.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. She throughout the course of the show, she has a lot of unique relationships with a lot of characters. Michael Scott, obviously, they went to high school together. They've known each other for a long time. They're the same age. She can give it to Michael like not many other characters can. Obviously, Bob Vance, who's married to Angela, her and the party planning committee, and Angela and the power dynamic that switches a couple of times throughout the show, which is really fun. Her friendship with Stanley, her friendship with Andy and Dwight, even.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're going to get into all that. But her entrance into the show, she's there all of season 1.
Right.
But I don't even believe she has a line in Diversity Day. Here's a trivia question for you, an early one. What race is Phyllis in Diversity Day? They put the little cards on their head.
Haitian.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
She has
right.
a line in the pilot.
She does?
Yes.
Do you know it?
I wrote down her first and last line. Do you want to hear her first and last line
yeah.
in the
Give
series?
Give me the first and the last.
Her last line in the series is, "I'm happy that all this was filmed, so I can remember everyone and what we did. I worked for a paper company all these years, and I never wrote anything down."
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Her first line is, "So what does downsizing really mean?" It's an aside. Her and Stanley.
Nice.
In hushed tones.
There we go. But maybe like her more standout moment is in basketball. When she wants to play on the team, Michael won't let her.
Right.
She wants to be a cheerleader, and Michael won't let her. And then he feels bad. He puts her on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
But Phyllis scores a basket during the game.
Yeah.
Despite
play,
being
man.
On
She's,
the bench most of the time.
She can box out.
You know, I think that we learned that that she went to high school with Michael early on. But other than that, you know, he makes some old jokes at her expense. She's like, "Michael, we're
a very the common same thing age. Is him making fun of Phyllis for being this sort of grandmotherly character,
matronly.
And she's always quick to be like, "Michael, we were in the same high school class.
Phyllis, you must be tired from standing on those games all day. Let's all clap at Phyllis."
I was just gonna say she's sort of oscillates between remarkably thick-skinned about a lot of stuff, or just she lets stuff not bother her or get to her, and then occasionally. You know, she really does react, especially to Michael, who really crosses the line several times.
Several times.
He does with every character.
Yeah.
But he gets up close and in Phyllis's business.
Sexual harassment, season 2.
Straight up fireable, as most of everything Michael does.
It is Todd Packer is telling a story, makes a comment like, "Oh, there was one chick who was really like ugly, kind of looked like," and he like sort of like looks at Phyllis, and then Kevin goes, "Phyllis?" And then, you know, Michael, it finally registers for Michael, like, that this is inappropriate. And so he jumps in to do the right thing, but then turns it around on Kevin and then gives Phyllis a hug and says, "You know what the only thing I'm worried about? Getting a boner."
Much like Nate with the beehive. He fixes a bad problem with a worse solution.
probably made it worse.
Yeah.
She's the butt of Michael's jokes a lot, and she can give it right back to him. We see her call him out that they always thought that Michael was gay because he had his perm and his suits and his ties and all these other things.
Well, I like to look good, okay?
That's sort of her power over Michael, right?
Yes.
I mean, she has that. No other character has no other character knew Michael before they started working there. So she has a unique ability to, I think, eye roll at Michael and go, this guy, like, I've known him for so long. It's just like, I know exactly who you are, Michael. You can't say anything to me. And yet he still does.
Right. And because not only does she know about his past, but she's married to Bob Vance, who Michael is afraid of. She uses that power.
Yeah,
over.
She has this power dynamic. She can invoke Bob later on.
That's incredible.
Scott. Yeah.
Sorry. Every time Bob Vance calls him Scott, it was amazing. But
when he comes in dressed as that backup Santa,
yeah,
where's Scott?
5,000 or 1,000.
That's good.
Phyllis has, not only is she so comfortable with the power she has over Michael, she never flaunts it too much. Like, she could a lot more. But she's so comfortable just kind of waiting until the right moment to just sort of press her power down on people. And we see her do this on many characters, but Michael especially.
Yeah.
And it's one of my reasons that over the last 2-3 years, Phyllis has gone from like ensemble member to probably my top 5 favorite characters. Like, I can't get enough Phyllis. I everything she does is funny to me now when I'm watching the show.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about Phyllis being pretty much comfortable in her job, not a lot of a career movement over the course of the show. I wonder if, to some extent, that is because of her marriage to Bob, and they have a pretty comfortable life together. You know, the show never alludes to this, but it seems like she doesn't have to work, really. Bob seems like a pretty successful guy.
Yeah.
Dwight makes a comment about someone barely outselling Phyllis. Who is it? Is it Pam or Andy, maybe?
I think it's Andy.
Yeah. Yeah. I meant that as a slight to Andy as well.
I have ears, Dwight. Yeah. Oh, do you really, Phyllis? Like we all do.
But yeah, I think that that's supposed to mean that Phyllis might be one of the lower, she brings in the lower sales, probably.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she works in the same building as her husband. It's obviously a great situation for
their money's coming from Vance Refrigeration.
Well, I mean, she's bringing in money. Absolutely. Yeah. And so it's, you know, they get to go to the work, same building, but they're not working side by side all day, which would probably be too much, you know, much like Jim and Pam are doing, but they get to kind of have their separate thing. And then you see that sort of, you see the spice of Bob and Phyllis's relationship pop up from time to time. And it's one of the best undercurrents.
It's a very spicy
in the show
relationship.
Is Phyllis's sexuality.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that Bob Vance and Phyllis Vance, that's the strongest marriage on this show. Strongest relationship.
I mean, you talk about the spice. She is Lutheran and Bob is Unitarian. It keeps things spicy.
That's right. It keeps things spicy.
Ugh. The way she talks, we'll probably get into a lot of this more. But yeah, I think that's a good point, Sean. I've never thought about, like, that is most solid relationship besides Stanley and Crosswords.
They're so meant for each other. I mean, there's so
Stanley
many
and Crosswords, Angela and Cats,
Toby and mystery and crime novels,
Flob.
Yeah.
For me, the moment where Phyllis kind of announces herself as a bigger character, or one that begins her development. Granted, this is one episode after sexual harassment in season 2, but Office Olympics specifically they're playing that game. Flonkerton, right? Phyllis agrees to put on the flonks, right?
Yeah.
But more specifically, when they're playing the game where it's horse and they're trying to throw things into mugs, and Jim says, that's an H-O for Phyllis. And Phyllis says, you calling me a hoe?
That's right.
That's the, and Jim says, whoa, trash talk from Phyllis. That's the moment where it's like, okay, this is a unique character now. I need to pay more attention.
Yeah. She's got a little stank. Yeah. She's got, she's a little more under the surface.
You got a lot to learn about this town, sweetie.
She does fulfill an archetype of sort of a passive aggressive someone in the office who's just sort of always going by the beat of their own drum and occasionally makes comments that, I don't know, she's always there. You never feel like she really likes anyone too much.
Right.
Because she doesn't need to.
Well, if we're talking about Phyllis having power over people and kind of like, you know, being this quiet person who people maybe underestimate.
The silent assassin.
Has a lot of strength. That's not the case when it comes to Angela Kinsey. Angela
Martin. Sure,
Angela Martin.
Come on.
She cannot use her power over Angela. Why do you think that is? I have an idea.
Well, I think that the growth of Phyllis is her asserting herself in general. Okay. So at the beginning of the show, she's very much at Angela's. Angela's very much in charge of her, right? Mm-hmm. She's very much Angela is dictating what's going on in the party planning committee, and Phyllis is very much very subservient to that, right? Mm-hmm. And then later, as the show begins, granted, it's because she finds out about her Angela's relationship with Dwight, and that whole thing plays out. But I think that's a bit of growth that happens.
Yeah. I think that she doesn't have a card to play against Angela, because usually her card is Bob, which she can play against Michael and all these other people because he feels physically threatened by Bob. But Bob can't physically threaten Angela. So
by that time, though, her card is the she knows about Dwight.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. She has to quietly wait to get that little thing, you know, that she can hold against her. And she uses it, you know, like she seems very, like, she's smart in that way. She knows that she doesn't, she kind of, like, quietly waits for something to use against Angela. And when she gets it, she uses it.
And the thing is, like, Phyllis doesn't, she doesn't initiate a lot of conflict with other people. But when someone comes at her, she fires back.
Yeah.
I would argue that Phyllis in the early seasons, even if she had a card to play against Angela per se, I don't know that she would do it. I think it's that slow burn, that growth, that development, right? Because when we get to Moroccan Christmas in season 5, she, you know, Angela steps up and she says, like, no, you go do it. You have me running around doing all these things just because you have this one little secret on me that I know you'll never tell because you won't get to keep planning your tacky parties.
Right, right.
And Phyllis turns and she looks down and it's very reminiscent of early season Phyllis.
Yes.
And then she turns around and breaks. It's a pump fake, right?
Yeah.
She turns and says, Angela is sleeping with Dwight.
Yeah. Right?
So that for me is the growth moment where not only she's going to stand up for herself a little bit, even if it's kind of ruining the life of Angela and Dwight and Andy.
Yeah.
And she's going to surprise you. I feel like that's, she's just very surprising.
So you guys think that she changes over these seasons. Whereas I'm kind of trying to say is that I think she's always been conniving, but she just didn't have that thing to hold against Angela. She didn't have, she realized that she couldn't beat Angela at this game. And so she just had to take it.
I think she changes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the large majority of characters get some sort of semblance of growth, and that's what we see from Phyllis.
Yeah, okay,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, in the same way that Kevin changes, you know, from kind of just normal and boring to an outlandish cartoon character. Like, Phyllis does start as just sort of a meek, quiet office worker and sort of becomes this underground godfather of the office where she's, like, has really kind of the most power and doesn't care more than anyone else, which puts her in a different place than everybody.
That's true.
Yeah.
People confess a lot of things to her.
It's true.
They come to her with their problems. We have Dwight coming to Phyllis with his Angela problem early on in season 4, I think, kind of after Fun Run. Andy, you know, confiding in Phyllis, trying to get her help to get Aaron's, to win Aaron over, especially when she's with Gabe. Mm-hmm.
We have Aaron confiding in her when she doesn't have with her whole issue trying to find her mom.
That's right. That's right. So people feel comfortable with Phyllis. Andy, there's a few different times that Andy looks for Phyllis's help.
She strikes me as one of the more, early on, like one of the more realistic characters, like someone you really could pluck out of the world and drop in. Like,
I mean,
there's a lot of them, but she in particular, for some reason, just really, really helps the show early on by just being the most normal person around. Like, there's a few of them, but
I think that
she stands out.
I think that's worth saying. I mean, like, I think that's kind of the reason that Greg Daniels and Ken Kwapis and these people wanted her to be on the show, because it was like she's not like an Los Angeles.
She wasn't trying
actor.
To act.
She was, yeah,
right. She's just reading the lines.
Yeah,
doing her job.
She's just your regular person. Yeah, and I think that's the purpose that she serves for a long time in the office. She becomes a more outrageous character later on.
Yeah, I think that's a good point that you make. That she's drawn differently over the course of the show, which is to say, near the end of the show, they have her say more and more kind of ridiculous things.
They're banging in the restaurant,
right?
In the bathroom at the restaurant, and Yeah, she's I mean, she confesses at one point that one of her favorite pastimes is to flirt with guys at the bar, and then Bob beats them up.
She never lets it go too far, though. Yeah. That's what she says. There's a line from The Return in season 3 where she says, Dwight has a big personality and I have a big personality. And a lot of times when two people like that get together, it can be explosive.
Right? That's right. Yeah, and she delivers that very quiet,
in the third season, it's almost played for laughs because we don't see that side of Phyllis.
Right.
But over the course of the show and by the end of the show, it makes perfect sense.
Oh, I love those times when she kind of surprises you. Weight loss.
Close your mouth, sweetie. You look like a trout.
That's one for sure.
Boscov's at the Steamtown Mall.
Weight loss. Kelly Kapoor passes out. So they have their conference room where they stand her on a chair and say all the things that they love about her body. Uh-huh. Phyllis has her confessional. Says, I wonder what things people would say about me. Probably my jugs.
Phyllis. Just like,
she my does that goodness. Little like, she does that little like, yeah. You know, yeah. head swivel jugs. Thing. Yeah. Yeah, she reminds us every now and then, like, you know, you kind of almost like worry about her. You almost feel bad for her. And then she reminds you, like, don't worry about me.
Strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are a few times where Phyllis kind of stands up for herself or for other people that I really like. When the stress relief episode happens in season 5, mm-hmm. She refuses to sign Dwight's like fake apology note.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you almost killed Stanley. Like, she's the one who really is resisting, and rightfully so. That, you know, that Dwight he issues a statement of regret. I state my regret, right? And eventually he
had to write that down. Yeah, I could not memorize it because I do not feel it.
And he only gets her signature by signing in at the auction, right? Or the roast, right.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then there's another moment where I think it's in weight loss where Dwight takes Phyllis all the way out to a bad part of town and just leaves her on the side of the road, and she has to walk back, and she immediately calls David Wallace.
Yeah.
Right. So in that regard, she is standing up for herself. She is unafraid to be confrontational later on in the show.
Yeah.
That's true. You know, and there are times we see her also really, really committing to something and wanting to be rewarded. I mean, when she's put in charge of the parting planning committee, she takes it very seriously. She pops the Bluetooth in. She really gets things going. Mm-hmm.
Bluetooth.
Yeah, I mean, even when Michael sends her to go get Sue Grafton at the Steamtown Mall, she attacks that
I
task
love that moment. Yeah.
With absolute precision and everything she has, and gives us. This was the other thing I was going to play at the top. I couldn't decide.
Are there any local companies that rent anti-gravity machines?
Anti-gravity machines?
That's right. Yeah.
What do they do exactly?
They make you feel lighter.
Anti-gravity. Antidepressant? I could put you through to someone on that.
Okay.
Just keep going. Just keep going.
Sure. You know what? I don't want to fail.
Yeah.
And then she comes back in tears, you know?
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And Michael's just like, why? Yeah. Did you really try?
You said don't accept no for an
answer. That's from the Goodbye Toby episode, right? When she's making. Right. Yeah. Here's the quote. Well, I got a line to buy Sue Grafton's book, and when it came to my turn, I asked if she wanted to be in the ad, and she said, no, thank you, but I wasn't supposed to take no for an answer. So I kept on asking, and finally they threw me out of the store in front of all my friends. And Michael says, did you or did you not get Sue Grafton? And she just goes,
Amazing.
And then Michael asks if somebody can get her a tissue, and Kevin tears a piece of tape off the tape roll.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she works hard. She's smarter than she looks, I think, sometimes. There's, you know, I mean, I'm thinking about when her and Karen Filippelli team up for their sales. They do not get off to a great start. But, you know, we see her take Karen to get a makeover.
The salon, yeah.
Which Karen's kind of thrown by and obviously frustrated by. But then
she comes back looking like an 80s movie.
Yes, right. Yeah, they're all dolled up.
Blowouts and
And then when they go to, you know, make the sale, you know, Phyllis is like, how's your wife? And, like, he turns the photo around and we see that they're dolled up exactly like his wife is. And the look on Karen's face, she's figured it out. We figured it out. Phyllis she's got a plan. You know, mm-hmm. And you, don't underestimate her. She knows what she's doing.
And then later she says, you can pay me later for the makeover. No, yeah.
That's right.
and that's the thing about Phyllis. And like I was reading through some, you know, a few different discussion threads online about her. And a lot of people are, you know, are just like, she's a snake. She's really mean and really rude a lot of the time because she's a character, and you can kind of divide the office in half of people who care about the office and people who only care about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And she's definitely she really only cares about herself most of the time because she's like, she's got her work. She's got Bob. She's happy. She's not looking for more friends. She's not looking for less. So she's still, you know, she's pleasant. But a lot of the time, I mean, we get a lot of evidence, and I was just going through, people were shouting out moments of like the times when she's kind of hurtful to people or just doesn't care. And she does it a lot.
Yeah,
but again, I think that's exactly what makes her such an interesting character to me, and why The Office is so good is like you meet people in real life that the first few weeks you know them, you're like, they're really nice, and then something happens and you start to realize, oh, they put on a nice face,
yeah,
but they're not that nice of a person.
I know what you're saying, and I've read a lot of that too, but like she does care. Sometimes, like, she is very caring and sweet sometimes. I mean, there's plenty of times where Dwight is confiding in her.
Sure.
And then she is, you know, gentle, like, you know, sweet to him and tries to be a good friend to him. And then he turns around and is a dick, right? He, like, leaves her on the elevator, that one part and stuff like that, you know. And
that's really fattening, you know. Yeah, it's just lettuce.
She's kind of an inverse of Dwight in that way, where she's like... You know, because she comes across kind of meek and quiet, but she isn't. Whereas, like Dwight comes across loud and confident, but a lot of times he's not. Like, he actually isn't. Yeah.
Well, I think that we can all relate. Yeah. You know, like when you're out there fending for yourself, and it feels like every man for yourself, and you're just like, you know, doing whatever you can to like get to just stay with me. But
the Roman Colosseum.
But when people come to you and like need you, you feel the need to help them and be there for them. So like that's Phyllis. She's not going to do it before that point.
She's not malicious. She's not malicious.
She's not going to stand up for you just out of the blue. But if you come to her and tell her, you know, that you're sad about this or you need her help with that, she's going to be there for you.
Mm-hmm. So just a couple examples. Before Pam's wedding, when she's asking, she's, you know, they're just like, I'll eat whatever's fanciest. She has this feeling of like, you're making us go to Niagara. I'm not going to be a great guest. Right. She calls her, you know, the morning of her wedding.
Isn't that Meredith?
Meredith says
that. Meredith?
I'll have whatever's fanciest unless there's ribs.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. You're right. Absolutely.
It's okay.
My apologies.
So Meredith is the snake. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
We've been talking about Phyllis this whole
Meredith will do just fine.
She's talking about Sue, Bob Vance's administrator. I know Sue. She's not that great. You know, her husband's in a wheelchair, right?
That's pretty.
Like, whoa, Phyllis. Wow. Phyllis. My God, girl.
Come on.
You got diabetes. Come on. Anyway, you don't see me talking about it all the time. She goes at Pam after Pam tells her clients that she doesn't have time for them, and they're wearing the same outfit.
Yes.
And she, with a smile on their face, starts stabbing Pam. I'm just like, isn't that what you said? That I don't have time for my clients? And that, where's the, close your mouth, sweetie, or you look like a trout. Which is just like, just an all-time burn on this show. Savage. Like, that's one of the harshest insults.
She does it with a smile on her face. Mm. So, like, you can't, it's, that's a good.
Love it.
I've got a similar one like that is in the New Leeds episode in season 6, where the sales staff is very much, they're very, confident. They have this air of power about them.
Are those the leads? Give them here, numbnuts?
Yeah, she says, hand them over, numbnuts. And then she pauses for a second. She goes, well, it's your job. You have to give us those leads.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the biggest one for me that I think is the harshest line from Phyllis.
Bluetooth Phyllis.
So dismissive,
We see her in the party planning committee and when they need the new leads. It's the only time we see her with Phyllis. A Bluetooth, and she's a different beast.
Yeah.
And she's great. Love it.
Savage.
I want to talk about her and Michael, just their relationship, because I think it's such an important dynamic on the show.
Yeah.
And so here's how I feel about it. As much as Michael idolizes Jim and Pam and kind of wants to be Jim and Pam, like, he really wants to be Phyllis. Like, Phyllis has everything Michael wants in a lot of ways.
Hmm.
She's a part of this group. She's a part of this group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's grew up in Scranton, all this stuff. She has a very steady partner, mm-hmm. all this sort of thing. She's well liked. Mm-hmm. The difference is it's like she's his age and went to high school. So he kind of resents her that she's and you see her say this when she announces she's getting married. Mm-hmm. And she's like, he's like, that's kind of amazing. Like, he's like, yeah. I can't believe Phyllis is outpacing me on all these things that I thought I would have by now.
Right.
And so I think it breeds this relationship where he's always a little jealous of Phyllis. And he kind of strikes out.
She was clearly more popular than him in high school.
We know that. Yes. Yeah. And so I don't know. She's honestly, I feel like what a lot of who Michael Scott would be if Michael really didn't care about anyone liking him.
Yeah.
She'd be a lot more like, be a lot more like Phyllis.
Well, it's interesting that she is a peer.
Yes.
Right. Where it, on some level, right, in that they have some sort of previous relationship, outside of their working dynamic that exists now. With all the rest of the characters in the office, they're all his employees, right? But in that one way, that she has sort of this unique connection to Michael from her past, right?
Right.
This is a thing that you're speaking of Phyllis being kind of brutal, right? Mm-hmm. She says, I'm glad Michael's getting counseling. He's really stupid. There's a lot of problems.
One of the best lines in the show.
Really stupid.
One of the most earned lines.
Yeah, and she hasn't had a chance to say it, you know. Yeah. The other thing, too, this is more illustrative of Michael's growth, but I thought about this where in the Christmas party episode in season two, Michael so clearly is upset by her gift of a homemade oven mitt, right? Mm. That he throws away the Secret Santa game, makes a Yankee swap, right? And Phyllis is so upset that at the end she storms off, right? Mm-hmm. And then they have to kind of tell Michael, well, maybe it's because he hated her presence so much, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you think to Goodbye Michael in season 7, Michael is going to leave that day, but Phyllis is knitting him a pair of mittens. And she's like, Phyllis, where are you? Come on. We got to get these mittens
really
done.
Wants them.
Right? He really wants those mittens done. So, like, it's just an interesting flip. We talk about this, but where the show kind of echoes itself or it rhymes with itself in a way. Mm-hmm. That was one that I thought of.
That's definitely.
Yeah. And she has several kind of microwave moments, which are when someone's sitting.
Oh, my God.
It's when someone's sitting at the table in the kitchen and they're wanting advice and someone's giving them advice while they prepare coffee or food. And then they say something as they close the microwave, a nice piece of advice. You know, there's those happen from time to time in the show. And I feel like Phyllis is there. Like they say something as they're dipping a tea bag, you know, that kind of thing in the kitchen. And Phyllis has a lot of those for sure.
I mean, one in particular that comes to mind is certainly during the, Finer Things Club. Mm. Phyllis is hitting the buttons on the microwave for a long time, and they're like, Phyllis, like, you know, there's a microwave in the
kitchen.
In the kitchen, she's like, "Well, it smells like popcorn."
Oh, like, that's your favorite.
Making?
Is that your favorite line?
Popcorn.
It smells like popcorn. It smells like popcorn. It smells like popcorn.
So, I mean,
it smells like popcorn.
Sorry, go ahead, Sean. My bad. Sorry, go ahead.
I am not.
It smells like popcorn.
I think there's a moment on Office Ladies where
the plants are gonna love this.
I was listening to Office Ladies. They were talking about Phyllis, and they were like, "It's something about her St. Louis
accent.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And like we loved to make her say 44 because it'd be
farty fire.
Yeah, right.
And I guess she would laugh when they'd make her say it. So
43 was. I got nothing.
But
she orgasmed for a year.
A year. That's,
amazing.
That is scientifically profound.
Good for you, Phyllis.
But if you go online, and like, there's some people who don't like Phyllis.
Well,
the popcorn
wrong.
Line comes up a lot. don't like the way she says popcorn.
Yeah, it's just something to get over.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Get over it.
I got the same thing when Pam says, "You bought me a house."
You bought me a house.
The way she says house.
Really?
That's my popcorn line.
I get it.
What? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just ruined it for you. You're going to hate it the next time you hear it.
Oh, my God. I've never heard that
There's like
before.
The thing where Jim has the voicemail from the pocket dial where you can take the girl out of Philly and she goes, Scranton, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
What are your best Phyllis episodes? I mean, of course, Phyllis's wedding.
Phyllis's wedding is one of my favorite episodes.
Yes. It's so good.
It's one of your favorites.
I love Phyllis's wedding. It's one of my.
Did you take it on the draft?
No, it was on my list, but I didn't take it. Mm-hmm. I love how awkward and uncomfortable it is, and it's Michael just ruining everything.
And just how much I was watching that one again. He has a bowl in a china shop in that episode. I was watching that one again in prep for this, and just like how well Phyllis handles Michael sometimes is, I mean, he visits her while she's getting ready, which is crazy for like a groomsman to come and visit Phyllis while she's getting while they're getting ready, and then accuses her of
Phyllis, did you break wind?
That is pungent.
Do you think it was Phyllis or not? No. It's not really clear.
I love when he tries to adjust her hair and he says, let's just cover up that bald patch.
Oh my God. this is just Michael being Michael. I'm going to get my 6 weeks of honeymoon.
6 weeks of honeymoon.
Crazy.
That's a lot. No one's ever gotten 6 weeks.
What I wouldn't give for one of Phyllis's room clearing farts.
Yeah.
A lot of smells with her too, because she's also got the perfume with Karen earlier on.
The perfume with Karen when Michael,
she's so helpful too. She's like, "Oh, I'll help you find what it is." Yeah, and leans over Karen's desk, and Karen's like, to Karen's credit, she's like, "I'm sorry, I think I'm allergic to your perfume or something."
Yeah,
and she really is like,
"Bob Vance got me this perfume.
It's made from real pine."
The lion is just drawn immediately. Yeah. And that leads to the, you got a lot to learn about this
Bob
town,
Vance,
sweetie.
Bob Vance got this perfume for me in Metropolitan Orlando. It's made from real pine.
There's the part where Michael decides he's going to be a salesman when Saber takes over.
The manager and the salesman.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then he's
back out in the bullpen and he's like, there's something smells. It's very sulfuric.
No, that's geological.
Phyllis started a new medication. Yeah. She sent an email. Yeah, Dwight's very matter of fact.
Yeah. We always celebrate our sales. It's part of the sales experiment.
Yeah.
Experience. It's not really 1994 anymore.
It's true.
I love that part.
Yeah. An episode that Phyllis is great in, even though she's not a huge part of the plot necessarily. Season 9, episode promos, episode 18. That starts with the 50 Shades of Grey cold open. And the shots of Phyllis rocking and listening. She is doing such a good job of like, she's tuning the world out and she's so into it. Eventually gets the bucket of water poured on her by Dwight. And then we see that happen to Andy. We get a quick shot of Andy listening to it, like really on the verge of finishing it.
Oh my God.
Anyway, Phyllis is doing great work. And
that is outrageous.
Yeah. And she has, I don't have it up here, but she has another really good moment that I can't remember in that episode.
I got other favorite moments?
Another good Phyllis episode for me is Casual Friday at the end of season 5.
Okay.
Where Phyllis is the... Oh, no. Cafe Disco. Excuse me.
Of course.
Not Casual Friday.
Cafe Disco. Where Phyllis is one of the first people to volunteer to go down. She goes, what the hell? She goes down. She's dancing with Michael. And I love the way the music is playing, where Phyllis kind of turns the corner and comes in and Michael's like, Phyllis? Like, he's so surprised to see her.
It's like high school dance again.
Right. She kind of like... She
boogies
just so
up to him,
walks in, and it's great.
And then she throws her back out,
immediately.
And then Dwight comes in and he says, "Who tipped you over? Was it Philip?"
Whoa,
who's Philip?
Whoa.
They said Diamond Dancer would never race again.
Another moment I love in that episode. Later, it's a little further on after Dwight's been massaging her for a while, and it just cuts into the scene, and they're talking about snakes. And he's like, the ball python's pretty scary. And she's like, I don't know. The rattler's really scary. And it's like, the way it cuts in, it's like, Phyllis and Dwight have just been talking about snakes. What's the scariest snake.
Yeah.
Amazing.
The way that he feeds her a carrot, too.
Yeah.
Like the crunching noise.
You got to go open palm with a horse. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Are those staples? Yeah, at the end when Bob is dancing?
Yeah. That's right. Oh God,
there's so many.
Some of my other favorite moments are also with Phyllis and Dwight. I didn't write down the episode, but it's the cold open where he's teaching them all the, he's updating them on all the changes.
Oh, the martial arts.
Martial arts.
Yes.
And the cold open is just Phyllis going, ah!
And he
chops down breaks, on Dwight. Yeah, yeah. Great physical comedy from Phyllis. And that's actually the second time that they're talking karate, because in the fight when Dwight bests Michael, he's then kind of giving everyone lessons about how to defend themselves and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, Michael comes out and says, watch out, he'll sucker punch you.
Oh, yeah. There's a great moment in season two in Performance Review at Jim's party. This isn't really so much a moment that puts a shine on Phyllis, but where Pam is so intent on figuring out if Dwight and Angela are dating, she gets the camera crew to help them out, and she goes up to Phyllis at Jim's barbecue and she says, hey, Phyllis, have you heard anything about, like, office romances? And Phyllis says, oh, you mean like you and Jim? Mm-hmm. And
right.
She flips it on Pam and she says, oh, I'm sorry, you two are so close and you're always talking, like,
yeah.
And it really flips that dynamic on Pam. And I thought that was a really interesting thing where we see so much of the show through kind of Jim and Pam's eyes, right?
Right.
To see it through another character's eyes is kind of a unique flip or a unique change on
the
dynamic.
They're also talking about, while they're quietly talking about everyone else in the office and making fun of them and stuff like that, Phyllis and Stanley are off talking about them, you know? Yeah.
Stanley and I are close. We sit close.
That sums it up right there. I was like, we've been asked to do a Phyllis and Stanley, their friendship episode, but you know, it's pretty limited, really. Like, they do work together, and clearly they really like each other.
Should we jump to the finale? And
what do you mean?
I mean, well, there's something between. There's something at the end where Phyllis gets the little figurine from Stanley, and she starts crying, and she's like, a lot of people, you know, see him as a grumpy old man, but I don't have the quote in front of me. But we kind of get a sense that there's a bond between them that maybe we didn't get to witness as much.
I want to say that Phyllis is the one he high fives when Stanley says, I don't care, just keep the ribs coming.
That's right? It. Yes.
High five. That feels like a real moment.
That's
right?
A good moment between those two.
Yep.
You've been meatball.
I think to the, near the, no, when is it?
Phyllis.
Sorry, I got
I'll
hit myself. Hit myself. This is another just moment before we finish up with her, go to the end, because
I got more moments. I'm not.
Yeah,
there.
I got more moments.
Keep it moving. Oh, okay. Let's keep it going.
The little run she does in Company Picnic when she's injured, quote unquote.
Oh, yeah.
She runs back to the sideline.
Yeah, yeah.
After she's like, you're not hurt at all.
And then just kind of runs to Bob.
I love that little run.
She just decides she wants to hang out with
Bob. Phyllis, why are you sitting on the ground? It's hot outside.
Yep.
Yeah. What are some of your other favorite moments?
This is another kind of craft moment with Phyllis and Michael, where Phyllis is working on the rabies quilt. And Michael says, Phyllis is working on a rabies quilt. Look at that, three. She's got three squares.
Yes. With the bat, the raccoon.
I love when, excuse me. I love when in the Gettysburg episode when she says, I don't think I should walk anymore. You know, all I had for breakfast was oatmeal, yogurt, coffee, orange juice, and toast. Two poached eggs, then have a and then have a sandwich on the bus.
Oh, God.
What about you guys?
Oh, no. Of course, if it makes you feel any better, I never had an orgasm until I was 42. Amazing stuff there. The other moment when she's talking about, like, how Bob and her never, sometimes they don't even touch each other. It's magical.
It's during a viewing party. She's telling, she's trying to help Andy. So she's talking to Aaron and being like, I mean, specifically Andy is like, do you think they've like, and she's like, made love? I don't know. And then she's like, I could find out for you, sweetie. Another time when Phyllis sees someone in need and comes to their rescue. Mm-hmm. But her attempt is kind of not great, because she just instead starts telling Aaron this bizarre story about how the first time her and Bob ever saw each other naked, they just stared at each other until they fell asleep. And she says something like, you know, the anticipation can be so wonderful. You know,
out of all the characters, the way she talks about sex, it's amazing. She's the funniest for that.
Bob have a fantastic sex life.
Oh, clearly at the expense office.
They are on the same wavelength.
They sure are.
Do you want a bite? Oh, no mushroom.
Oh my God. That's such a, Oh my gosh, that is such a sensual, like,
yeah,
something about that. Mm-hmm. That's so.
What's the
gross.
Rule about eating when people leave? Well, I think if you have hot food, you can eat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bob ordered hot food.
Yeah,
I don't think he's gonna miss all. Gonna eat all those fries. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, she'll take a 2-hour lunch. Yeah, she mentions yeah. that she, like, you know, Michael never like gets mad at them when they take a 2-hour lunch because she's afraid, he's afraid of Bob.
that's right.
Other favorite moments before we move on to when unanswerable questions.
When Phyllis hugs Andy, I want to say it's near the end of the show when Andy like exits. She's just so happy to see him and make sure that he's okay. Oh, it's mm-hmm. in the finale when he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And they all see each other again for the first time. And Phyllis just gives him this really big hug.
Aww.
He's like, oh, favorite big hug for my favorite Mama Grizzly.
Oh, right? Shit. Okay, so another favorite moment then for me. I didn't.
No, go ahead.
Did I? Is her friendship with Andy sometimes is really funny. I love when Andy is reading like his like Cornell alum magazine to mm-hmm. her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, he's like, you know, oh, Broccoli Rob, you know this guy. I showed you his Facebook picture. Mm-hmm. And she's like, she thinks about it for a second. She's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. And she smiles. It's like, and then she's like, and then he like kind of cuts himself off as he's reading the article mm-hmm. about like a guy falling, you know, dying in a
oh, yeah.
mountain climbing accident. Mm-hmm. She's like genuinely interested. She knows about him flirting with his cousin.
Yeah, like, so, yeah, he says, I'm in this weird flirty thing with like a cousin of mine. And Phyllis goes, again with the cousin.
Yeah, yeah. She's always listening. She's very, I mean, she.
Yeah.
It's kind of the gossip in her, mm-hmm. but she's always mm-hmm. listening. She knows what's going on with everybody, it seems like.
She likes to dish.
Mm-hmm.
I love in Goodbye Toby when she sends Kevin out for more barbecue sauce. Kevin's like, you got it, Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
I
like
Phil.
That he
yeah.
calls her Phil. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, some last things to talk about. Unanswerable questions for Phyllis, the baby that she gave away, right? Mm. We never really learn about. Like, this is hinted at a couple of times. She gave a baby.
when Michael's like, I have a secret about Phyllis that no one here knows.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And she looks really worried.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right,
and
right.
he's like, she was so cute
yeah,
in high
yeah.
school.
And
cut
then
to her. She's like, I thought I was going to mention the baby I gave away.
Yeah. yeah. Which later, they think maybe Aaron might be that baby because she's about the right age.
I love all of Phyllis's coaching for Aaron about dating Andy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say go get him. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then she does the sock puppet thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we got an interesting
message on Facebook. Yeah, someone sent us a.
There's a fan theory out there that Bob's new secretary,
Jessica,
could also be the baby that she gave away. I mean, it's not really like we don't spend too much time with Jessica, mm-hmm. but certainly like there's some similarities there.
Yeah, or like that yeah. that he hired.
yeah.
You know, saw something yeah, there and turns out yeah. it was Phyllis's daughter.
Turns out it's Phyllis's daughter. That makes sense.
Yeah.
yeah. I thought that was a fun theory.
She's roughly the same age as Aaron.
Yeah.
You know, could
mm-hmm.
be.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, why not?
Do we have any more unanswered questions about Phyllis? I've got one.
Go for it.
During our honeymoon safari in Africa, Bob and I were driving late at night and he'd been drinking and suddenly, thump. We hit something with our Jeep. It was probably a man. We didn't know what to do. We heard the police were corrupt and they might beat us, so we just kept driving as fast as we could. We bribed the airline, got on a plane that night, and fled home. Maybe it was just an ostrich in a soccer uniform.
Oh my God. What? I've heard that before. Is that a deleted scene?
It's a deleted scene from Business Jesus. Ethics in season 5.
Oh
yeah.
my gosh. So, okay.
That's amazing.
So this actually takes me to a note that I have, which is something that people talk about on the internets.
Uh-oh.
Is Phyllis actually a bad person, right? No, we've talked about ethics on the show and things like this, but let me give you...
We are all noted ethicists.
This is certainly one example. Mm. You know, she stole Pam's wedding, right? That's something that's mentioned in mm-hmm. Phyllis's wedding. She stole... Pam was planning her wedding at the office, so it's, you know, and talking about it with Phyllis and stuff like that, so it's possible she stole all the all these things. There's a theory out there that she cheated with Stanley, which is what kind of like what her, you know, her getting emotional at the end of the show about Stanley is all about. You know, we know that Stanley's a cheater. We know that Phyllis is, you know,
I throw that fan theory back.
You don't like it.
Myself, I don't keep that one.
Tangentially related, I love when new Stanley comes in. There are a couple times when new Stanley comes in.
She
one
wants to
for
fatten
the
him up.
One for the banker, right? Uh-huh. And then again in the finale when like she's giving him fudge, right?
Right, that's right.
He's like, I've already gained
5-10 pounds, yeah.
That's right.
She looks at him with that. Just like, yeah, you'll get there.
I mean, she flirts with guys so Bob will beat him up. She uses blackmail. She's
for it to be blackmail, it has to be a formal letter.
That's a good point. But, you know, I mean, just things like kind of using Bob to take advantage of Michael to get, you know, longer lunches and doesn't ever feel bad about, you know, running off in the middle of their Valentine's lunch with Jim and Pam. She orders hamburgers at Mexican restaurants. She makes Karen pay for the surprise makeover. She's jealous of the secretary. She's a gossip. So anyways, this is something that people have...
She's quite gifted at statecraft.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Overall, within the office.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe she should be the senator.
That's right. So anyways, that's just that's something that's out there. I think that it's a case that could be made, certainly. But these are a lot of ifs. We don't know that she cheated with Stanley. We don't know that she ran over a person. It could have been an ostrich in a soccer uniform. Mm-hmm. But anyways,
can we talk about why she wanted to be Santa? Why do you think Phyllis wanted to be Santa so badly?
Hmm.
Remember that?
That's right.
I'm Santa. She's like crying. Yeah, she's like, finally.
It's a little girl's dream come true.
It's like she asked Jim like 6 weeks ago or something about playing Santa. Jim, Phyllis is Santa. Phyllis.
She likes to help people.
She likes subversion.
She does like to help people. Yeah.
That's funny that you guys came out at different angles. She likes subversion. She likes to help people. Both can be true.
Yeah.
Phyllis, like any of us, contains multitudes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think, yeah, and she's just like, Michael, just let me do this. I like doing it.
Yeah. I mean, she's so quiet, but we know that she has such a fiery personality. You know, some people like that. Sometimes they like to, play a character or like, you know, and that allows them to be the center of attention instead of being themselves, you know.
Phyllis does try to set up Michael with her friend, Sandy. She's gorgeous, and she has a feisty personality.
Right. Could she fit in a rowboat?
No, okay, no, she couldn't fit in a rowboat. Is she a dress wearer or a pants wearer?
Dress wearer.
Michael's antenna's up. Could she fit in a rowboat?
I think I'm being very clear with what I'm asking. Would an average-sized rowboat support her without capsizing?
There you go.
It bothers me that you're not answering the question.
No, okay, no.
She can't fit in a rowboat.
Fun facts, closing thoughts, anything else about Phyllis Vance?
I'm out. I'm out of stuff. We're getting a lot of mileage out of
Jesus.
Phyllis.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That was great. Let's move on to a couple voicemails we got.
We got a couple
since last week, since our mailbag episode came out.
Well, we've gotten several since that came out, including we got one that came out like right after we recorded. Got it, and it had to do with something we'd been talking about.
Right.
So we definitely get to that.
Okay.
Yes. But before we play that one, we got a different one responding to Ingrid from last week. Mm. Here we go.
Okay.
Hi, guys. This is Gabe from Indianapolis. Just want to say thanks for doing what you guys do. We really enjoy listening every week and hearing some input from the fans, and it's good to hear everybody else who calls in, sends you messages and all that. Hey, I wanted to call in about your... mailbag episode. I think it was Ingrid called and left a voicemail about a plot hole in Viewing Party, and I thought she was going to say the plot hole was that baby is a different Cece than the normal Cece than all the other episodes, and I actually had a really interesting story about that. And I'm a fourth grade teacher, and one day early in the school year last year, obviously I can't use names for the kids' safety and all that, but we were doing an icebreaker, and one of the students said a fun fact was that she'd been on TV before. And I thought it was like the news or whatever, and she said, no, actually, I was on this TV show called The Office. Oh. And I was like, what? I'm a huge Office nerd. So I asked her what. She said she was baby Cece in the Viewing Party when it was a different Cece.
Wow.
And so I emailed her parents. I was like, okay, I have to know. She said this today. Did she just say that because I said my favorite show was The Office, or is this true? Like, what's the deal with this? And I guess that the normal CC at that time was unavailable. I can't remember if she was on a vacation or whatever. And my student's dad was an artist, and he was doing some graphic design stuff for NBC, and they needed another baby at the time. And so this student I had was actually baby CC on that one episode of Office, which I thought, in Indianapolis, Indiana, that's just absolutely crazy. So just thought it was a little interesting tidbit about that. And if anyone's ever noticed, there you go. That's why it's a different CC. So anyway, again, thanks for what you guys do. Appreciate your time. Have a good one.
Oh my God!
Thank you. That was such a great voicemail. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Gabe.
What a tidbit!
That's amazing.
I would not have freaked out.
I know. If someone,
I would not have picked up on that. Yeah,
like, Rainn Wilson show called The Office.
Rainn Wilson held you. Mm-hmm. How long?
Oh my God! Yeah,
feels good to know that that baby is now in fourth grade.
Like, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Like,
makes you feel nice and young. Yeah.
We could have a conversation with that baby.
Honestly, if he was like, yeah,
you have a conversation with any baby.
Sure, that's true. Seniors in high school, and she was the
bit. Although I know where the original CC was. She was on a sales call. Wow, more paper.
All right.
That's amazing. Thank you, Gabe.
Yes, thank you so much.
This was another follow up from last week.
Hey, so this is Thaddeus again from Lufkin, Texas, the Deep Piney Woods over here. So I was, I called in a few days ago, and I left, you know, just a short message as a thank you to you guys for what you're doing and how much I'm enjoying it. And I kind of told you how I didn't like most of Sean's take. And then after that, I listened to your episode number 45 of Benihana Christmas. Where at the end of it, you say that a guy named Thaddeus called in from Texas and he doesn't agree with anything that Sean says. And I just think that's hilarious because whoever that guy is, I think we're kindred spirits and it's kind of weird that we have the same name, so that made me laugh.
Wow.
Sean, it's hard to agree with you sometimes. But I actually did have something for you guys this time. I do want to know more about what it is that you three do. And I want to know, you know, any moments that have happened within y'all's workplaces that make you feel like you're in the office. Because I know for me, I work in human resources in my job, and I've had moments where I feel like I want to look at a fake camera or something like that. You know, weird things happen. But I'm just curious if y'all ever had any moments like that or any good stories like that to tell. Again, thank you for all y'all do. Sean, I'm not sure how you're not murdered every hour, but it's all good. I really love the show, and I love all y'all's takes, to be honest. I could do without some of Sean's, though, again. But keep up the good work, guys. Thank you for all you do.
Love it.
Talk to y'all later. Texas, huh?
Awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Wait a minute.
No, that wasn't him.
There are two Thaddeuses
from Texas? A different Thaddeus. Called in and said he didn't like you.
That's a very popular Texas name, and they all don't like me. That's Thaddeus. I mean,
they're all in the James
I want to say that I appreciate Thaddeus, and I thank you so much for calling in. Mm-hmm. And I have no problem with playing this role on this show. Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. He's like that guy. We must be kindred spirits.
It's not him.
That wasn't him. It was a different Thaddeus.
That's crazy. Anyways,
he could be joking.
Okay, but
he sure could. But isn't it more fun to think?
He wanted to know more about us and what we do. And yeah, I mean, maybe we mentioned it before.
We talked a little bit too about like how our lives affect the office last mm-hmm. episode. I don't think we need to go too far.
Yeah,
into it,
I don't know if we need to. Yeah.
So. But thank you, Thaddeus. I mean, I'm gonna start. Trying to dig deep and come up with more specific scenarios when my life echoes The Office.
I for sure owe you guys an answer to that because I kind of opted out of the question.
Yeah.
Last week. But no, we'll come back to it.
Definitely. I mean, it happens all the time.
Totally.
Sure. Totally. Thaddeus, are you a Toby HR guy or are you a Holly HR guy? Do people like... are you the fun HR?
Are stalkers cutting sleeves off your clothes or are you getting injured in Costa Rica? What's going on?
Thaddeus, thank you so much, man. Just, you know, please feel free to call anytime when you disagree with me.
I love the cutoff. Texas, oh!
Awesome. Man, yeah. Thank you so much, guys, for calling in. Every message we get. I know we say it every time. But like, really, cool. Yeah, it's
yeah, we can't express enough.
We got a few other voicemails from people with some good show topic ideas, so I think we'll just sort of move those over for later.
Mailbag's going to be a regular thing now. Thank you to all of you guys who are contributing.
And Thaddeus, just let us know for sure, like for real, if that was, if that truly was a different Thaddeus. I have to know. Are you joking or not?
Guys, how about some trivia?
How about it?
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Okay, well, today we're talking about Phyllis.
Yeah, we know, dude. Been here all day.
Really? This episode has come up a few times in our discussion. It came up last week, too. But Phyllis plays a small...
Close your mouth, sweetie. You look like a troll.
Oh, my God. Today's trivia is based on Viewing Party, Season 7, Episode 8.
Love it.
Oh, I've seen it.
Question one.
It smells like popcorn.
That's enough. Question one.
Yeah.
What does Kevin suggest as an idea to catch the Scranton Strangler? The cold open is everyone witnessing the newscast of Scranton Strangler being trapped in a house surrounded by SWAT. What's Kevin's suggestion to get him out?
Play that great music.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do that thing where they play really good music to get him out. Do you know what he's referencing? Is it like
I think
say anything or something?
No, I think that in the gonna get kind of heavy, but I think following like the Iraq and Afghanistan wars and conflicts, they would play like heavy metal music as a means of torture.
Oh yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's really good music.
I just
watched
the report, so yeah, fresh on my mind.
Yeah, maybe Kevin likes heavy metal music. Jim says some things are so historic you have to stop and watch them in the moment, like two events.
The OJ escaping?
Not like OJ.
Balloon Boy.
Balloon Boy is one.
I don't remember the other.
Michael Jackson's funeral.
Oh.
Things that if you didn't see them in the moment, you wouldn't care that you missed them at all.
Yeah, remember Balloon Boy?
Yeah, Balloon Boy. Question three. Who is Michael's favorite Glee character?
The invalid.
The invalid. That's what he says. Question four. Dwight thinks it's ridiculous to make a show about the feeling of glee.
Mm-hmm.
What feeling does he want to watch a show about?
It's like thirst.
Thirst is exactly what he says. Pam isn't sleeping lately because Cece is blanking.
Reverse cycling.
Yes.
True. If it doesn't stop soon, I'm going to be up all night.
True or false, Phyllis is a big Glee fan.
False.
I don't think she is.
False. While they're watching it, she's like, "Who's?" "Who's that? Who's that? Which one's
that's
Glee?"
Right. That's right. That's right. Which one's Glee?
These true and false questions you've come up with lately are such a trap. Like I never know. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Michael gets the name of the movie Spinal Tap wrong. What does he call it? He says he's turning up the volume on the show, and he's like, "Turn it up to 11."
It's like another Monty Python movie, right?
You know he's talking about Spinal Tap.
Okay.
He calls it Spinal Cord.
Oh.
Spinal Cord.
I was
going
to guess that. Oh, man.
Spinal Cord.
What song do they all miss when Jim changes the channel to watch a sports game?
They sang Blinded by the Light, and they use an actual blind guy.
Yes.
Dwight doesn't actually have to hold Cece all night. He's trying to get away, so he's comforting Cece. He's like, I don't actually have to sit here all night. You know, all you have to do is blank.
Get a lump of suet or any other congealed animal fat, tie one end to her toe, and she'll put the other end in her mouth.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right. That's exactly right. You even got suet right.
Or
any congealed animal fat.
Yeah.
All right. Last question.
I know everything about film.
Last question has to do with our hero today. What fragrance does Phyllis wear?
Oh. Man,
didn't we just talk about this? Is it the one that Bob bought her in
Metropolitan?
It's actually not.
Oh.
Andy eats the seahorse powder.
Yeah, that's right.
And he comes out feeling good, and he kind of wins over Phyllis's. You know, kind of like I don't know. He has a nice moment with Phyllis, and sort of wastes his charm on Phyllis.
That's right.
Is that blank? Jesus, wow, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God, I can't think of it.
It is White Diamonds by Elizabeth Taylor.
All right, I would not have
just... Oh, I know. Wow. Well, that's it. That's it for my trivia for today.
I have a bonus trivia.
Okay.
What cologne does Andy spray on that Valentine that gets to Kelly but is intended for Aaron?
I don't know.
It's Roger Federer for men.
Roger Federer. You guys, thank you so much for listening. Please, as we mentioned before, we're going to do a lot more mailbag stuff. So please, please, please give us a call, 503-694-9314. You can leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show. You can email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can Facebook or Instagram us, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We're on Twitter, at Michael Scott Pod. We got a website, michaelscottpod.com. Oh, boy.
No place to post there, but check it out.
Very special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who runs our social media and designs all our artwork. We are recording this episode live in the OG studio at the Ward Ward Brother household.
That's how we do it here.
Thank you guys so much. Please like and subscribe and rate us on whatever, wherever you're listening. It really helps out.
We'd love it.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening. We always appreciate it. Can't wait. We'll be back next week.
I'm about to go to Costa Rica, guys.
Yeah, don't go ziplining.
Oh, my gosh. Don't go ziplining.
I leave tomorrow, so I'll bid you adieu.
All right.
Well. Bippity Poppy, give me the salad.
Yes, sir.
Portland out.